This is your strategic briefing for February 11th, 2026. I'm coming to you today with an assessment that should concern anyone tracking American power projection and institutional resilience. Let me start with what's happening beneath the surface of our domestic politics, because these aren't just internal scandals anymore. They're strategic vulnerabilities that adversaries are already exploiting. The expanding Epstein case regularities represent something far more significant than a criminal justice failure. We're watching a real-time stress test of American institutional legitimacy, and the results should alarm you. Newly released documents reveal an unidentified prisoner captured on surveillance footage moving toward Epstein's cell with absolutely no official record of who this person was or why they were there. We have guards who cannot account for their own actions during critical timeframes. There's a missing murder weapon that somehow disappeared from a federal facility. And perhaps most troubling, we now have Department of Justice communications that appear to suggest foreknowledge of Epstein's death. Now, let me be clear about why this matters beyond our borders. When a democracy's justice system appears either catastrophically incompetent or deliberately compromised in cases involving elite networks, you hand adversaries an incredibly powerful weapon for information warfare. China and Russia haven't missed this opportunity. They're already weaponizing these failures in their strategic communications, systematically framing Western governance models as fundamentally corrupt theater designed to protect the powerful, while claiming moral superiority. The strategic calculus here involves three distinct scenarios, and each one carries different implications for institutional resilience. First, we could be looking at systemic incompetence distributed across multiple federal agencies, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Bureau of Prisons. This would suggest serious capacity degradation across our institutional infrastructure. Second possibility, a coordinated cover-up involving high-level officials protecting elite networks. This indicates the existence of immunity structures that operate above the rule of law. Third scenario, prison-sanctioned violence followed by administrative concealment, which would reveal a complete breakdown of rule of law norms even within federal detention facilities. For allied intelligence services and foreign ministries conducting their own assessments of American reliability right now, here's the question they're asking themselves. If the United States cannot manage basic evidence preservation protocols in a Manhattan detention facility with one of the highest profile prisoners in decades, how should we evaluate American claims about intelligence sharing accuracy? How should we assess military coordination competence? These questions don't stay confined to the Epstein case. They metastasize across the entire relationship. Now, let's shift to what happened at the Milan Olympics, because this isn't just about sports. Multiple U.S. athletes publicly expressed deep ambivalence about representing America on the international stage. Skier Hunter Hess stated openly that he had mixed emotions about wearing American colors. Similar sentiments emerged from other competitors. This represents a fundamental break from historical norms around international athletic competition. The geopolitical significance here goes back to the Cold War, when Olympic performance served as a proxy for national vitality and social cohesion. Soviet and American athletic dominance carried ideological weight far beyond the medal count. It communicated something about the vigor and unity of competing systems. Today's athlete activism, whether you view it as principled dissent or disloyalty, communicates internal fragmentation to international audiences who are watching very carefully. The Trump administration's immediate response, calling these athletes losers and questioning selection processes, tells us this will become a sustained domestic political flashpoint with serious foreign policy spillover. Adversaries will amplify these divisions relentlessly through information operations. They'll frame American society as fundamentally fractured, unable to unite even for symbolic international representation at events specifically designed to showcase national pride. This also reflects deeper generational shifts in how younger Americans conceptualize patriotism and political expression. This demographic cohort increasingly views their public platforms as vehicles for policy critique rather than opportunities for apolitical national celebration. Now, whether this represents healthy democratic discourse or destabilizing fragmentation depends entirely on your analytical framework. But the international perception management challenge is absolutely undeniable. America's adversaries don't need to fabricate division anymore. They just need to amplify what Americans are already saying about their own country on the global stage. Let me take you into pharmaceutical market dynamics, because what's happening with Novo Nordisk's litigation against Hims and Hers reveals regulatory arbitrage vulnerabilities that extend well beyond the pharmaceutical sector. The case centers on compounding loopholes, which are legal gray areas allowing alternative providers to replicate branded drugs under highly specific conditions. The FDA has now referred this case to the Department of Justice, suggesting potential criminal dimensions to the regulatory violations. For those tracking macro implications, this battle represents established industries defending entrenched market positions against digitally native disruptors who are actively exploiting regulatory gaps.
The 16% stock plunge in Hims following the lawsuit demonstrates that investors clearly recognize the regulatory risk embedded in telehealth business models that rely on these loopholes. More significantly for our purposes, it highlights a persistent pattern. Technological innovation consistently outpaces governance frameworks by substantial margins. The GLP-1 medication market carries genuine geopolitical weight because of what the global obesity epidemic means for national productivity and healthcare system sustainability. Countries that establish efficient, affordable access to these medications gain measurable workforce health advantages. We've already seen this in Denmark's economy, where Novo Nordisk now represents a substantial portion of total GDP growth. One company's pharmaceutical success has macroeconomic implications for an entire developed nation. This case will establish precedents for how traditional pharmaceutical giants respond to alternative distribution models, with direct implications for future FDA compounding guidance and the structure of international pharmaceutical competition. Watch carefully for China and Indian manufacturers entering this contested space through completely different regulatory arbitrage strategies that may prove even more disruptive. Now, I want to take you to street level in Los Angeles, because what's happening there serves as a cautionary tale about governance sustainability in American cities. On-the-ground investigations reveal a striking policy contradiction that's emblematic of broader West Coast governance challenges. Municipal programs are simultaneously distributing naloxone for overdose reversal, alongside complete drug injection kits. This harm reduction approach, intended compassionately to minimize death and disease, may actually perpetuate addiction cycles while urban cores visibly deteriorate. The geopolitical relevance lies in what this signals about state capacity and governance effectiveness in America's second-largest metropolitan area. When major cities concede public spaces to disorder, as reporting clearly suggests Los Angeles has done, it raises fundamental questions about the sustainability of progressive governance models and their long-term electoral viability. These visible failures in democratic-controlled urban centers provide powerful political ammunition domestically, but they also invite unfavorable international comparisons. Adversaries systematically highlight American urban decay as evidence of systemic civilizational decline, contrasting it with their own carefully curated urban development showcases. The economic implications cascade outward: property value deterioration, business relocation to other regions or states entirely, and ultimately unsustainable municipal budgets. This pattern is potentially replicating across multiple West Coast cities simultaneously. For macro observers, the critical question is whether these localized failures translate into broader political realignments or fundamental policy shifts. Urban governance collapse in symbolically important cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle could reshape American political geography and force paradigm shifts around homelessness policy, addiction treatment frameworks, and public order maintenance. Watch for inflection points where either political coalitions fracture or policy approaches undergo dramatic reversals. Finally, let's examine what's happening in Europe with the French police raids targeting Elon Musk's operations. Combined with Europol involvement, this represents escalating transatlantic tensions over technology governance and speech regulation. The timing here is not coincidental. These actions occur amid broader Trump administration confrontations with European institutional frameworks, suggesting coordinated pushback against American technology platform dominance. This reflects Europe's persistent strategic vulnerability. Complete technological dependence on American platforms, combined with strong regulatory impulses to constrain them. The raids appear designed to establish precedents for extraterritorial enforcement of European content moderation standards, effectively asserting regulatory jurisdiction over global platforms regardless of where they're headquartered. The broader context includes intensifying European resistance to Trump's America First economic policies, widespread farmer protests against trade agreements like Mercosur, and growing potential for EU political fragmentation. These parallel developments suggest a European political establishment increasingly defensive about its diminishing leverage in shaping global governance frameworks. For strategic observers, the key question is whether this represents tactical escalation that will eventually be negotiated down, or the beginning of genuine strategic decoupling between transatlantic partners. The technology regulation battlefield will almost certainly intensify regardless, with profound implications for data governance frameworks, content moderation standards, and the fundamental viability of maintaining unified global platforms under increasingly divergent regulatory regimes. Let me synthesize what you need to monitor over the next 48 hours. First, watch institutional legitimacy metrics closely. Track polling data on public trust in federal law enforcement, the justice system, and government institutions broadly. Declining confidence creates exploitable opportunities for adversary information operations that can be extraordinarily difficult to counter once they gain momentum. Second, monitor transatlantic technology governance developments. Watch for additional European regulatory actions against American tech platforms. Look for patterns suggesting coordinated strategy versus isolated incidents driven by individual national politics. Third, track municipal governance sustainability indicators. Watch for financial stress signals in major progressive cities, pension funding crises, bond rating downgrades, significant business relocations. These would force policy shifts regardless of ideological preferences. And finally, assess whether Olympic athlete activism represents isolated incidents or the beginning of a broader pattern of contested national identity with direct foreign policy implications. The signal I'm watching most carefully in the next 48 hours is whether any allied intelligence services begin quietly adjusting their information-sharing protocols with American counterparts based on institutional confidence assessments. That would represent a threshold crossing with cascading implications. Stay vigilant. Until tomorrow.